this is Angela Middleton, and welcome to my podcast called I Want to BA. The reason for this podcast is that there is a huge lack of careers advice in the UK, and I'm always asked by young people, by parents and by teachers, my views on improving careers advice, and particularly by parents, what should they say to their youngster who's leaving school. I think it is a wider subject. It's not just about what job do you want to do, but it is actually about how you want your life to be. And within that, what type of career you want to select. And that career can just be the first stepping stone. Nowadays, individuals have a whole portfolio of careers. The people that I've interviewed, even at the age of 30, have had four or five careers. Myself, I've had at least five different types of careers. So this podcast is about firstly talking about careers in general and careers advice, but secondly, bringing in individuals who have experienced careers in particular industries, hence the subject I Want to BA, and they can come and talk about the path that they took to actually get to where they are, and also talk about what it's like to actually do that job and have that career. So we'll be covering every type of career that we can think of in the UK, and it will be everything from architects to zoologists. So I look forward to comments, and we'll build things up as we go along, and hopefully it should be of great use to parents, to teachers and to young people. Today I have Hannah Murray with me, and Hannah is going to talk to us about her profession as a radio presenter. She actually is based in Spain, so this interview took place on Skype, and it's lovely to listen to Hannah. Actually, she's one of those people that really has gone with her dreams and goals and just sort of followed those as opposed to a sort of more prescribed path, and has absolutely achieved some great things in her career and loves what she does, so it's really inspiring to listen. So Hannah, thanks so much for joining us. And if we can start by hearing a rundown of really your journey from when you were at school through to where you are now. And I know you've done lots of travelling and lots of different jobs. So give us a flavour of that.
Yeah. So I went to school in Dorset and I got 10 A to C GCSE grades. It all went quite well. I enjoyed school pretty much. Loved drama. Drama and music were particular things that I enjoyed, which is why I then went on to college, Yeovil College in Somerset, and did a BTEC National Diploma in Performing Arts, which I really, really loved.
And was that something that you loved doing from a really early age, or was it something that sort of developed just whilst you were at school?
Definitely from an early age.
What were your influences?
I don't know, really. I've always liked musicals, singing and dancing. I've always liked pop music and music in general. There was always music in the house with my mum and dad. Grew up listening to the Beatles. And I've always kind of thought musically, I wish I was born in 1950 because I think it'd be great to have been a teenager in the 60s and then gone out disco dancing in the 70s.
Yeah. Although you did sort of get to relive that part, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, funnily enough. Working in one of my favourite jobs thus far is a 70s bar in Newcastle in the north of England called Flares. And many people in the UK might remember it. They had them in various cities in the UK. And you had to dress up in 70s gear and dance on the bar to various songs. And for me, that was just an absolute dream.
Absolutely. And get paid for it as well. Amazing.
Exactly.
When you were at college, I mean, for a lot of youngsters, especially when they've, had the academic success that you had, you know, they will be invited to sort of consider university, etc. Is that something you thought about?
No, it actually never came up. I don't remember having a conversation with my parents or my friends. Certainly when we did the National Diploma in Performing Arts, I suppose some friends might have gone on to university, but I don't remember it being a thing. I just remember thinking it was the best course ever, doing the performing arts, because we had to do drama, music and dance. And then we had the backstage work as well, which I'd never thought about before. So that was really interesting, learning to build sets and design costumes and do the lighting and all that sort of stuff. So there was so much more to the course that I didn't realize. So I didn't feel the need to kind of go on and study anymore, really. I don't mean I thought I knew it all, but I kind of felt like, yep, done that. That's brilliant. And then I went on holiday to Greece with a boyfriend, and he had to go back to university, but I quit my jobs in order to go on holiday. And I thought, well, I don't have to go back for university. So I stayed in Greece.
Wow.
And that was the start of my travels. And I ended up spending 3 summers in Greece, in Naxos.
Right. So you're very independent, it sounds like, because at the age of 18, a lot of youngsters probably wouldn't have the confidence to do that. It sounds like you did.
Yeah, definitely. My parents were very encouraging. I'm an only child as well. Yeah. But my mum did a lot of travelling in the 70s and used to hitchhike when it was potentially safer than it would be now. But she was all for it. And they were always very encouraging and never kind of geared me to do what they wanted me to do. They just supported me in whatever I wanted to do, which was fantastic. And I just really enjoyed travelling and meeting people and working different jobs. And I always did it on no money. I'd kind of go there with a few hundred quid and then need to find somewhere to stay and work with pretty quickly within a week, and somehow always managed to.
And that's really, you know, having a sort of very positive mindset and really sort of just following your dreams, it sounds like, and sort of going for what you loved and looking for things that you enjoyed the whole time. So very much a moving towards type mentality as opposed to a sort of fearful moving away mentality. So tell us some of the other jobs that you had. Obviously you were in Greece and you did a variety of sort of, you know, bar jobs and things like that. What other types of jobs did you do before we actually sort of talk about your current role now?
Yeah, I did a lot of what they call PRing, certainly not PR companies that we might think of, but basically carding, working for bars and nightclubs, standing in the street with cards representing different bars, and people would walk past and you say, oh, if you go there, you'll get a 2-for-1 or that kind of thing. That for various places, and worked in bars as well, worked in restaurants, did a lot of waitressing, worked in some nightclubs, did some telemarketing as well. I'd always been quite good at sales, anything dealing with people. So
what led you to where you are now, which is beautiful Spain, sunny Spain? Tell us about that sort of transition.
Yeah, I moved here in 2003 and didn't know where in Spain I was going to move to. Came here with an ex, and we drove through France down to Barcelona, and then just kept driving along the coast and kept stopping at various places that we'd heard of, or some that we hadn't heard of, spending a night, going out for the night and thinking, no, not really for us, let's keep going.
Oh, how amazing.
And the first place that we got to that we thought, this is nice, was Puerto Banús. Some people might know is quite a luxurious place that
Very
we so
much.
Can afford to live in. So we slept in the car for a week. We got an apartment in San Pedro, which is just up the road from Puerto Banús, about 5 minutes away. Yeah, I've lived in and around San Pedro ever since.
Well, that's amazing. And so you, your first sort of what you called your, you know, first proper job was in for a real estate company, wasn't it?
Yeah, when I got here, I didn't know what I was going to do, but I kind of thought I didn't want to work in any bars anymore. Mm. I wanted to get a proper job, if you like, do something a bit different.
And how old were you then?
23. And yeah, just basically met someone who said, oh, do you do sales? And I said, yeah. And he said, oh, you should come and work for a real estate company, do some telemarketing. So I did. And I was there for just over a year.
And then tell us about the transition to radio, because your next job was, you know, where you are now, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I got a bit fed up with real estate. It was, I mean, everybody was working in real estate in 2003. It was when times were kind of booming here, but it was quite a stressful time. You know, you could have a good day or a bad day and it would really impact you. It was difficult for me anyway, to kind of get over having a bad day. And I was thinking I'd much rather have a job that was less stressful, that I enjoyed doing every day and was excited to go to, but I had no idea what that was going to be. And just by chance, I heard an advert on the radio saying, does anyone know anyone who's interested in getting into radio?
Yes.
If so, call this number. And I thought, oh, radio, that sounds like fun. So gave them a call, was invited to go in the next day and started the day after that. It all happened really quickly.
That's amazing. So tell us about what the role is now then.
So what I'm doing now is I'm hosting the breakfast show, which is called Daybreak. I do that every day, well, Monday to Friday from 8 till 10 a.m. Spanish time, so an hour earlier in the UK.
So people can tune in and listen to that if they want to, can't they?
Yeah, absolutely. CRE.radio.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Got lots of listeners from around the world, actually. Yes. The UK is our second biggest market after Spain. But you can see online who's listening, and we'll have people listening in Taiwan.
Wow.
Or Uzbekistan, and you kind of go, what?
Yeah, and it's what you called an expat radio station, isn't it?
Well, only because we're expats.
Yes.
I mean, we broadcast in English. And a lot of our listeners are English, but we have a lot of Irish listeners. We have a lot of Spanish listeners as well.
For the benefit of people listening, what does expat mean, if you could explain that?
Yeah, expat is expatriate. It basically means somebody who's moved out of where they are from. So from England. So if you're living somewhere other than England, I guess, or the UK, then you become an expat.
Besides your daily talk show, you do some other things as well, don't you?
Yes, I do the book show as well, where I interview authors, whether they're local first-time authors to international best-selling authors like James Patterson or Jilly Cooper, and just basically interview them about their most recent books, but also their career, which is fascinating.
And your role is very far-reaching, because it isn't, although, you know, it's obviously very exciting to be doing the interviewing, that's not where it stops for you, is it? It's the whole remit.
Yeah, there's a lot of preparation that goes into it. I mean, I find the guests myself primarily. I decide who I want to interview or who I want to try and interview and see if I can get them on. And then I have to do all the research about them, you know, finding out a bit about them and if they've got a book or their company, their history, so you can be a little bit informed when chatting to them. Mm. And then the music, we decide what music we're going to play. Radio in Spain is very different than radio in the UK, I believe.
In what way?
Well, there's often a much bigger team in the UK with people doing specific roles. The presenters are often given a lot more than they are here. You know, there'll be someone will have put a playlist into the system. Someone will give them a guest. Someone will give them all their research material, possibly even questions that they should ask their guest. All that kind. Someone will give them the weather. You know, there'll be a traffic report. You know, they'll be.
Wow. You're pulling all this together.
Yeah, whereas we're doing it all ourselves, definitely.
And so you're acting as the producer of this show as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I have a bit of assistance. There's a guy called Rob who's fantastic and helps me out as much as he can. But I'm doing a lot of it myself, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And obviously you're very busy. So what's a typical day for you?
Well, I start work at 7. So the show starts at 8. So I normally get to work at about 7. And I cycle in because I live about 10 minutes away from the studio, which is handy.
Lovely.
So I get here and then have to plan the show, basically. It's going through the newspapers. So there's sport, entertainment news, financial news, and just the standard news headlines. So I prepare all that before I start the show at 8.
And what time do you normally finish? Because they socialise late, don't they, in Spain?
Yeah, which is hard for me, having to get up early.
Yeah.
So, my show finishes at 10. Then I do a record an interview with a book show author at 12, sometimes another one at 1. So I'm normally home by 2 o'clock, really.
Yes. And obviously, you've still got all your research and everything that you're doing and your social media and everything like that as well.
Mm, yeah. Yes. A lot goes into it, absolutely.
So what of all of these things do you love most about the job?
There's a few things. I mean, I love being able to talk to so many interesting people. I mean, I mentioned a couple of celebrity authors there. It's great to chat to people who you've enjoyed watching on television or dancing to their music or reading their books, that kind of thing. It's always exciting to be able to do that.
Any sort of names that we could mention that would resonate?
Noel Edmonds, Debbie McGee, Eva Longoria, but also being able to interview people who aren't famous but who have amazing stories to tell. You know, people who work for incredible charities, people who have lost a leg but still somehow managed to run a marathon, and
yeah,
all this
amazing
and people who've been in the Second World War and lost their best friend and brother. And so, yeah, some real heartbreaking stories and inspirational stories as well.
What would you least enjoy about it, if you had to mention anything?
Well, I suppose the early mornings aren't easy, although it is nice to have the afternoons as a bit of free time. But yes, whenever the alarm goes off, I don't go woohoo.
No, yeah.
I've never thought I was a morning person, so I do find it kind of funny that I'm doing the morning show. And yeah, I mean, as a general rule, I know people who do have various jobs here in Spain, and the money in general isn't great, you know, certainly compared to the UK. But then we have an amazing life.
And I think that's quite interesting. We were talking about that sort of off air, weren't we? That, you know, there is give and take in every career. And, you know, what you do sounds amazing, enjoyable. It's different. You've got freedom. You're living in an amazing place. But, you know, in life and in careers, we can't have everything, can we? And so it may not pay as much as, I don't know, some sort of, you know, high-flying job in a bank or something, but you know, you're enjoying it so much and you've got that sort of freedom of a freedom of remit. And I think people have to think very carefully about those different aspects when they're actually considering what career to pursue.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting point. I have friends who do have banker type jobs. They can be very stressful. They can earn fantastic money, but they, a lot of the time, are really unhappy. You know, they're really stressed and they find it difficult to relax even at the weekend, or find it difficult to book time off for holiday. And I just think, you know, if you're thinking in the grand scheme of things, when 5 years, 10 years has gone by and you look back, was it all worth it?
Yeah. I don't know. On this point, what do you think makes you successful in this role? What sorts of, are they learned skills or are they naturally innate type skills?
I think a mixture of both. When I first came to the station, I started working as a producer and I was kind of advised that I should become indispensable. Mm. You know, if I want to get a permanent role, if I want to be seen as someone that should be employed properly, then I need to learn as much as possible. And I really took that on board. So I know quite a bit technically. I know how to, you know, record and edit interviews and put a lot of things together, because I have made the effort to watch other people and say, oh, how do you do that? And what's the best way to do that? And
so these tech skills that you have are very much, you know, you didn't have to have those before you joined. These are things that you've been, you know, self-starter, and you've learned yourself as you've gone along from other people.
Yeah, absolutely. The main skills that I had, I think, at the beginning, that I would certainly recommend other people to have if they were looking at getting into radio, are things like confidence, being good with people, being happy to help, willing to learn, quick to learn, all those kind of things.
Yeah, exactly. And what people could be doing, even if they're sort of, you know, they could be sitting in school at the moment still and thinking, well, how do I prove that? Or even somebody who's in one job and about to move to the next, you know, you can start thinking early about these things, and starting to think about, well, how could I evidence that, and starting to think of examples and starting to put these on your CV, so that when you do come to approach an organisation for an opportunity, you know, you've got something to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what you were saying to me earlier is that there are opportunities to join these types of organisations, such as, you know, talk radio where you are, in not just your country, but in a variety of countries. So if someone wants to pursue this career, what sorts of advice would you give them?
Yeah, I would think, first of all, about the kind of place that you'd want to live in. I mean, there might be people that love skiing and would like to, you know, move abroad and live in the Alps or something. Obviously, Dubai is a popular place, the Middle East, or Spain, France. There's so many countries to choose from. So have a think about the kind of place that you'd want to live, weather-wise, language, something to take into consideration.
Yeah.
And then just Google English radio stations in said place. See what you can find on the internet, have a look at the kind of thing that they already do, and before getting in contact with them, just think about the kind of person that they might be interested getting in touch with them. So instead of coming across saying, oh, I'd really like to learn more about radio and please can I come and work at your radio station. And so instead of it coming across to the radio station that you need them, if you can try and come across in such a way that the radio station thinks, oh, we should get them on board, they could be really handy to have around.
Absolutely, yeah. And what you were saying is that it is actually possible. People may look from afar and think, well, I'm going to have to do a huge amount of stuff beforehand before I can dare to apply for a high profile radio station. But, you know, when you applied, you didn't have that experience, but you did have all these people skills. And actually, the job you were in initially was to assist somebody. But yet when they left, you put yourself forward for that role and you got it, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I was working as producer for the lady who was doing the magazine show, the afternoon show, and she went on sabbatical and they were trying to find a similar person to fit the role. But I was a lot younger a lot younger than the kind of person that people would suggest should be presenting a main show. I was 27 at the time and everybody else who worked here was, I think, late 40s, 50s. So it was, deemed that I potentially was too young to handle it, if you like.
Yeah.
But I got it and I did all right and I'm still here.
Absolutely. And then just finally, sort of, looking forwards, if people are thinking this sounds like an amazing career and they just wonder sort of what the next step would be beyond that, you know, what sorts of things could this lead to, having done the sorts of things that you've done now in your career?
Yeah, I think it could open lots of doors depending on where people want to take it. I mean, whether they want to work at another radio station in another country, you know, whether the aim is for radio in London. I mean, I think it's difficult, to be honest, to get into radio in London particularly, because I think most people will notice a lot of radio people are celebrities or journalists. They've come from newspapers, they've come from television. So there's a lot of background there. I think it'll be very difficult to get a presenter job in a radio station in London, having
But as you say, if you go overseas, first of all, or indeed if you go regional, you know, further afield in the UK, if for whatever reason people don't want to travel, it all then sort of builds up, this body of work, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think with radio, it's unless there is a specific job advertised and you've got the experience to take it, I think you have to kind of start from the bottom and work your way up and be willing to do that. So it's not the kind of job, I don't think, that unless you've got the experience, obviously, that you can go into and start earning money. I think you need to say, I love radio, I'm passionate about radio, I'd love to learn as much as possible. Can I just spend time in your station? You know, whether you want to make adverts or learn more about being a presenter. If you can come across as someone that's really eager to learn and passionate and helpful and good with people, then I think that's a foot in the door.
Well, Hannah, I think you've done such a lovely job of explaining that and sort of opening up the opportunities for two individuals. And you're a great example of somebody that has really sort of followed your dreams and really prioritised what's important to you in your life. And you've just sort of gone for it and made it happen and been really resourceful. And you know, really, it sounds idyllic what you're doing. So I thank you very much for that, because I think it's going to be really inspirational to people that have listened. If they want to find out more, ask you questions direct, how can they contact you and talk to you a little bit more?
Yep, our website is tre.radio. And they can listen online. And if they want to send me an email, they can. It's Hannah, HANNAH, at tre.radio.
That's great. Thank you so much, Hannah. Love talking to you.
Thank you very much.